truly ravish your woman in love, you must yield yourself in the worship and trust of her heart, which, in truth, is your heart. Such fearlessness will prepare you for, and perhaps even initiate you into the worship and trust of consciousness itself, such that you will find greater and greater capacity to yield into and as the boundless one who you truly are. Chapter 37. She wants the killer in you. Among many other qualities, a woman wants the killer in her man. She is turned off if her man is afraid and wants her to kill the cockroach or the mouse while he stands on a chair and watches. She is turned off if her man wants her to get out of bed in order to check out the strange sounds in the house and to find out if a burglar made the noise. Fearlessness, or the capacity to transcend the fear of death for the sake of love, is a quintessential form of the ultimate masculine gift. Although your woman doesn't want you to be a killer, she is turned on by your capacity to kill, and she is turned off by your lack of this capacity. For instance, imagine that a big cockroach crawls into the living room. You jump on the couch and scream to your woman, "Kill it, please, kill it!" She would probably not be turned on. Or imagine that you are in bed with your woman at night. You hear some strange noises downstairs in the kitchen. You are afraid, so you ask your woman to go down and check it out. She is not going to become excited by your masculine valiancy. In both of these cases, your woman will feel your fear. She doesn't want you to be a killer, but she does want you to feel that you are capable of facing death, if necessary. In fact, she wants to feel you are capable of killing, if necessary. If an insane maniac broke into your home and was about to murder your children, your woman would not be particularly happy if you had the opportunity to do something about it, but instead you said, "Well, okay, Mr. Maniac, whatever you want to do is fine with me." The dark masculine energy of the warrior, the one who could face death and kill when necessary, is an essential part of you. Today's current fashion is to suppress both the dark masculine and the dark feminine, so we have a large population of wimpy men and polite women. But beneath the nice veneer of most women lies the wrathful goddess who would chop the head off of every mediocre New Age man. And beneath the patient smile of most men lies the warrior of love who would ravish his woman into bliss rather than listen to her chat in pointless emotional circles. But the dark masculine energy has been suppressed so thoroughly these days that the ordinary man would prefer to paste a smile on his bored face rather than penetrate his woman's tensions with uncompromising love. And he's just as cautious about disrupting his own well-planned life of comfort and security in order to penetrate his own fear of death. Although she may resist it at first, your woman, if she has a feminine sexual essence, wants to feel your fearlessness. She wants to feel your capacity to face her closure, anger, and tension without trying to minimize her feminine force. She wants to feel your persistence in loving, so that her fury cannot turn you away. She wants to feel your capacity to stand strong in your own desires and ravish her because you love her, unafraid of her dark energy. She wants to feel this dark masculine capacity not simply because she wants to be ravished, but because it is a sign of your overall capacity to face and know death, your own and others. And it is this capacity that makes you trustable as a man, both as a human warrior and as a spiritual warrior. The knowledge of death makes you humble and courageous. The knowledge of death strips the armor from your heart and allows the knowledge of love. This knowledge of death and love is your doorway through your own fears, through your own clinging to security, and into the unknowable mystery that lies beyond your little cell of self-protected importance. Your woman's desire for your dark side, in love, is a gift to you. By honoring her desire through the cultivation of your dark and fearless loving, your need for self-protection will decrease, and every moment will stand more naked, vulnerable, and true, released of your need for consolation and false self-assurance. Rather than smiling at your present experience from behind a curtain of safety, minimizing your participation with the always life-threatening potential of the moment, you will lovingly surrender your position and ravish the moment. Penetrate to its core and find yourself identical to it. feeling through and through and through is your only freedom. The killer your woman wants is the one who knows that life is a process of dying through to that which cannot be lost. Only in this sacrifice of fear can your heart remain unguarded. Facing the potential burglar at night is only a sign to your woman that you are willing to lose everything into love. Chapter 38. She needs your consciousness to match her energy. A man must be able to meet his woman with consciousness equivalent to her energy. The feminine destructress must be met by the masculine destroyer. The goddess of devotion must be met by the god of all-pervading love. Dark or light, a man can't be stuck in or avoid any areas of his masculine capacity, or his woman will test him there. These areas of testing are usually first on the dark side. Only after trust is established there, only when the dark feminine lover knows she will be met by the dark masculine lover, will testing proceed toward the light. As you probably know, your woman is capable of being a witch, a sex slave, an Amazon, a goddess of light, a nurturing mother, a demoness, a luscious lover, a wise teacher, a wild animal, and everything in between. As a general rule, she will keep returning to the energy that you cannot match. For instance, if you are particularly turned off by her anger, she will seem to return again and again to the energy of anger. If you are unable to embrace her anger in the ferocity of your loving, transforming her anger into passion, she will continue to test your capacity to do so. Any of her energies that you are unable to transform into love through the force, clarity, and humor of your consciousness will return for you to face again and again. Perhaps she gets tense and agitated often. You have tried talking about this with her countless times. Nothing seems to make a difference. So you just stop trying. You learn to tolerate her tension. Without consciously choosing to get tense, she will continue to test you. Until your consciousness is able to blossom her beyond her tension, you will be tested. A lesser man might decide, well, she's going to have to deal with it herself. But she would not be in relationship with you if she wanted to deal with it herself. She wants your consciousness, clear, strong, and free as much as you want her radiance. If you are not penetrating her moods, she can't feel your free consciousness. Instead, she feels you throw up your hands, impotent in the face of her energy. The secret is to match her energy with consciousness, demonstrated through your body. If she is screaming and breaking dishes, your body must meet her energy. Your fearlessness and strength of love must manifest through your body. If you are cringing, if your voice is restrained and you are telling her that you love her, she won't believe you. If you walk up to her, hold her in your arms, and laugh affectionately in the humor of the moment, she will feel your freedom, if it is for real. She will feel it because it is communicated through your body. Your body, tone of voice, and the look in your eyes mean a lot more to her than anything you could say. Don't tell her what to do, but do it with her, with your body. If she is tense and closed down, lift her arms up above her head and kiss her heart. Don't just tell her to open up. Actually open her up, physically, with the openness of your body. The same is true of her bliss. You must meet it, bodily. If she is in the ecstatic throes of devotional surrender to divine love, then your consciousness must be just as free. Your body must meet hers, full of relaxation, power, and trust. Your capacity to surrender through your fears and release your sense of separate self in divine communion must be as strong as her surrender into love. And you must show it through your body, not just your words. If your surrender into communion is not as strong as hers, she will return to the place of your limiting fear, your weak link, and test you there. If you collapse or react with unlove when she questions your financial ability, she will continue to do so. If you feel weakened when she questions your sexual ability, she will continue to do so, implicitly or explicitly. She will never trust your lighter masculine capacities until you have proven your darker masculine capacities. Your woman has an intuitive knowledge concerning your consciousness. She knows that if you are not free to meet her dark destructress energy and ravish her in love, you won't be free to meet the dark destructors of the world, who will challenge your spiritual freedom with strength and love. You need not concern yourself with pleasing her. That's not the point. She is offering you a gift. She is presenting you with an energy in the form of her mood and emotion, offering you an opportunity to learn to master this energy with your fearless loving. Whatever energy she offers you, you can be sure the world will offer it to you as well. If you have ever tried to increase your income or magnify your spiritual clarity, you know that the world will test you. Only through your persistence, fearlessness, and loving service does the world yield to your efforts. And the same is true of your woman. You are not trying to please her. You are learning to pervade the world, including her, with consciousness and love. That is what you are here to do. The world will test you with dark, wild, and resistive energies financially and spiritually, for example, in the same way your woman is testing you emotionally. If you hide your deepest gifts from her in fear, you will also hide your deepest gifts from the world in fear. If you give up at a certain point with her, you will likewise only go so far in the giving of your gift to the world. Your woman knows your weaknesses better than anybody. She knows where you will falter and give up. She knows the degree of mediocrity you will settle for. And she knows your true capacity as a full man, a man of free consciousness and love. Her gift, if she is a good woman, is to test you with her darkest moods over and over and over, until your consciousness is unperturbed by feminine challenge and you are able to pervade her with your love, just as you are here to pervade the world. In response to your fearless consciousness, she will drench your world in love and light. Part 6. Feminine Attractiveness. Chapter 39. The Feminine is Abundant. There is never a shortage of women or feminine energy. If a man feels that there aren't enough women, or that life isn't giving him what he wants, he is simply negating his relationship to the feminine. This sense of starvation, life is not sustaining me, or there are no good women, is usually rooted in a man's early childhood relationship with his mother. Life itself is the feminine. There is never a shortage of feminine energy, only a resistance to receiving, trusting, and embracing it. You must actually refuse feminine energy in order to feel tired, dry, and hungry for a woman. You are living in an ocean of feminine energy right now. Feminine energy is filling your body with life, beating your heart, and breathing your breath. There are women all around you who, with the proper initiation into mutually surrendered loving, would feed every cell of your body with juicy, enlivening, rejuvenative feminine energy. If you feel stranded on your own masculine island of weariness and hunger, it is because you are refusing to embrace the energy and women around you. Whenever you are feeling isolated and weary, feel the present moment as if it were a woman. Feel like you are embracing a woman physically. Feel the front of your body as if it were pressed against the front of a woman's naked body, being filled with the delight of her feminine softness and liveliness. Feel her breasts and belly against you. Breathe deeply as if you are inhaling her intoxicating fragrance. And while inhaling, receive deeply into your body not just her scent, but the very essence of feminine deliciousness, as if it were nourishing food for your masculine soul. Relax your body and feel the ocean of feminine energy around you. Feel your surroundings as her form, the sounds around you as her moans and laughter, and the light around you as her smile. Actually relax with the moment as you would relax with your lover, not metaphorically, but literally, bodily, with full intention and presence. Do the same in the company of human women. Feel them not merely as friends, co-workers, or sisters, but as walking blessings of energy. Receive their anger as a jolt of awakening energy. Receive their sexiness as a blessing of enlivenment. Receive their happiness, even when you are depressed, as a light shower of refreshment. Open your breath and body and fully receive each woman's unique flavor of feminine energy, so your day becomes a feast of plenty. You need not show the women you meet throughout the day that you are doing anything special at all. Continue to treat them in whatever way is appropriate for the situation, But through it all, relax and enjoy the bountifulness of feminine energy that surrounds you, both in the form of human women and in the form of the moment together. Chapter 40. Allow Older Women Their Magic. Men should support older women in their wisdom, power, and intuitive and healing capacities. Men should not degrade older women by demanding or desiring them to be like young women. There should be no such comparison. Each age of woman has its own value, and the transition from superficial shine to deep radiance is inevitable. For many reasons, from biological to yogic, you are probably more sexually attracted to young women than older ones. Walking down the beach or street, your head is more likely to turn for a 20-year-old woman than a 60-year-old. This is quite natural. But there is more to feminine energy than this. Youthful sexual attractiveness is a temporary aspect of a much deeper and more fundamental quality of feminine energy, radiance. Feminine radiance is not only the flush of a young woman's cheeks or the glow of her skin, but is the shine of life force itself. A woman's true radiance reveals the degree to which she is open, trusting, connected, and loving. Her capacity to love, in turn, allows her body to be moved by the power of life force itself. Herein lies the true nature of feminine radiance and power, far beyond the simple sexiness of a naive young woman. When a woman is young, her body more easily conducts life force, and so she appears more radiant in general than an older woman. But even amongst young women, there are those who are pretty just on the outside, and those whose beauty springs from their depths. As a woman ages, her skin begins to lose its youthful capacity to conduct life force. What remains obvious of her feminine radiance is primarily her beauty of depth. In fact, it is this deep beauty that you find most attractive even in young women. There is a difference between your knee-jerk response to a cute babe and the open-hearted awe and mindless swoon you feel in the company of a woman who moves, breathes, smiles, and shines radiant feminine energy like a goddess. When looking into such a woman's eyes, you feel an almost breathtaking depth of compassion, love, and mystery. This deep feminine beauty or radiance need not be diminished by age. Actually, it can be magnified, deepened, and glorified. If you are disconnected from your deep masculine core of purpose and consciousness, then you will also be disconnected from a woman's depth. You will see only skin deep, and you will be attracted to the superficial display of a woman's radiance, which often disappears with the passing of youth. You will inadvertently dishonor the true and deep forms of feminine radiance, and so contribute to the social cult of youth, wherein women try to look and behave younger and more superficial than they truly are, denying the power and radiance springing from their depths. The natural sexiness of a young woman will always give you energy. You never need to deny this, but the awesome beauty and radiant ease of a deep woman can stop your mind, widen your heart, and suspend your body in the mystery of feminine grace, all in an instant, with a single gaze or touch, regardless of her body's age. And in relationship with such a woman, there are no bounds to the rapture which may resonate through your union. Boundless feminine love radiance and temporary physical sexiness are both blessings. You must decide, moment by moment and year by year, which qualities you will invoke and venerate with your attention, praise, and union. As a woman grows older with wisdom, her psychic weight increases. She becomes a bigger woman, able to influence her surroundings with stronger magic than a less developed woman. She is able to read the signs of nature with great accuracy, as well as sway events with almost shocking rain. A superior man honors and appreciates this kind of magic, and knows that it complements his masculine style of accomplishment. An older woman will also tolerate less of your bullshit than a younger woman. Although this might be one of your reasons for preferring younger women, you must choose your priority. If you find yourself attracted to younger women, be careful that you aren't trying to find an easy relationship with a woman who will let you slide. If your purpose is to become ever more free of your self-burdens and give your true gift to the world, then a spiritually mature woman who won't let you slather in your comfy habits of security and distraction, may be an excellent ally for your journey. Chapter 41. Turn Your Lust into Gifts. When a man sees a beautiful woman, it is natural for him to feel energy in his body, which he usually interprets as sexual desire. Rather than dispersing this energy in mental fantasy, a man should learn to circulate his heightened energy. He should breathe fully, circulating the energy fully throughout his body. He should treat his heightened energy as a gift which could heal and rejuvenate his body, and, through his service, heal the world. Through these means, his desire is converted into fullness of heart. His lust is converted into service. His desire is not converted by denying sexual attraction, but by enjoying it fully, circulating it through his body, without allowing it to stagnate as mental fantasy, and returning it to the world from his heart. If you are like most men, sexual energy tends to go directly to one of two places. Either your head becomes stimulated and you fantasize about being with a woman who turns you on, or your genitals become stimulated in lustful need. Your head and genitals, however, are just the north and south poles of the whole body. A superior man circulates the energy of arousal throughout his body, taking particular care not to let it stagnate in swollen fantasies or appendages. The purpose of sexual desire is creation. Reproduction is but the biological aspect of creation. As a man, you probably have much more to give the world than your children. Just as beautiful women inspire biological procreation, they also inspire artistic, social, and spiritual creativity. When it comes down to it, most creative men will admit that, one way or another, women are their muse and inspiration. Women bring them into the world. Women move them to create and serve humanity. In fact, some men would go so far as to say that, if it weren't for women, they wouldn't be interested in the world much at all. If you are a man, you have probably found yourself inspired at one time or another by a woman. Such inspiration is usually temporary because most men don't know how to cultivate their relationship to the feminine. They tend to be inspired and then spurted out through spasms of thought and ejaculation. Then they seek inspiration again through more women or through other feminine sources such as alcohol, drugs, or nature. But if you learn to discipline your habits of building up and releasing mental and sexual tension, you can continually cultivate and magnify your inspiration. You can wean yourself from the addictive cycles of sexuality and intoxication. You can make use of the native force of sexual desire for your woman and for other women, and convert your tendency toward fantasy and lust into the force of inspiration. Feel lust. Feel what it really is in its totality. Your lust reveals your real desire to unite with the feminine, to penetrate as deeply as possible, to receive her delicious light as radiant food for your masculine soul, and to give her your entirety, losing yourself in the giving so that you are both liberated beyond yourselves in the explosion of your gifts. This explosion of gifting could be the basis of your life, not just a moment of sexual yielding. When you feel sexual lust or desire for any woman, breathe deeply and allow the feeling of desire to magnify, and allow it to magnify more. Don't let the energy become lodged in your head or genitals, but circulate it throughout your body. Using your breath as the instrument of circulation, bathe every cell in the stimulated energy. Inhale it into your heart, and then feel outward from your heart, feeling the world as if it were your lover. With an exhale, move into the world and penetrate it, skillfully and spontaneously opening it into love. Through these means, allow women's sexiness to help you discover and give your gift, rather than beguile you into cycles of stimulation and depletion. Chapter 42. Never allow your desire to become suppressed or depolarized. When a man denies his desire for the feminine, either by choice or due to familiarity, it is a sign of his depolarization even toward the world. He may seek a mistress in order to reinvigorate him, but this is usually only a temporary and complicated solution. since it is only a matter of time before his mistress also becomes familiar, and thus tiresome. Any woman toward whom a man becomes depolarized will feel his rejection, disgust, and turning away. In response, she will become angry and destructive. Her unhusbanded energy will begin to move chaotically, becoming even self-destructive. A man has no excuse. He must cultivate a polarized relationship to his woman and his world if he is to remain in relationship with them. You have a choice. You could choose to give your gift as a renunciate celibate, living only with the most minimal engagement with the world and women, or you could choose to engage the world and women fully, as a way of giving your gift. If you choose to engage the world and women fully, then you must maintain a certain degree of polarization or mutual attraction with them. Otherwise, you will begin to reject, resist, and resent the world and women, undermining your capacity to give your gift. You've probably seen the face of your woman when you've gotten to the point of putting up with her, rather than permeating her. She begins to look haggard and drawn. Her long face bespeaks a heart and body unravaged by the clarity and force of your masculine loving. She never seems really happy. Eventually, her resentment turns inward, and disease symptoms begin to appear in her body. Her skin seems to wither before your eyes. You dislike her smell. As her frustration and negativity build, you become less attracted, which of course deprives her of even normal human affection. When things get really bad, she seems so ugly and dark that you are repulsed, and your complete withdrawal leaves her barren at her core. You may stay together because you love each other, but both of you are totally depolarized, more disgusted than turned on by each other. During these times, you probably also begin to feel the same disregard toward the world. Over time, you may begin to lose interest in your projects and career. You may consider changing jobs or finding another woman. It seems that newness in and of itself will be more attractive and exciting than your worn-out woman and your droning career. And you are right. A new woman and new work will excite you and cheer you up. And this is exactly what a mediocre man does. He stays with a woman and a project for as long as they interest him and turn him on. When the excitement seems to wear off, he moves on to another, and then another hopeful source of polarity and excitement. It is not that time kills delight, but familiarity, neutralization, and lack of purpose. Another man might find your woman to be quite a turn-on, even though she seems old shoe to you. It may not be your woman who is worn out, but your capacity for desire. You may feel like having as little to do with her as possible, but your lack of desire is only that, a lack of desire. You have spent so much time with your woman that you have rubbed off on each other, like two magnets that have demagnetized each other. Familiarity breeds depolarization, and depolarization breeds contempt amongst lovers. Every moment you treat your woman as simply a childcare helper or a buddy, you are neutralizing the same sexual differences that would secretly attract you to your female babysitter or business acquaintance. Over time, you actually begin to behave more sexually neutral with your woman than you do with other women you meet throughout the day. Chances are, your woman is more sensitive to sexual energy than you. She will probably feel the effects of this sexual neutralization or depolarization before you will. And when she does, her first reaction will be to feel rejected. Not in any big way, but in a small, constant way that undermines her feminine radiance. Even when she shines, you will treat her with more sexual neutrality than a woman on the bus. She will feel hurt and become darkened, and you will feel even less attracted to her. Although both of you are playing into this downward spiral of darkening depolarization, you must not blame her. A superior man always assumes complete responsibility, knowing that, ultimately, he has no control at all and everything is out of his hands. He acts with impeccable courage and persistence, expecting nothing but the inherent feeling of completeness he enjoys in the fullest giving of his gift. When your woman is looking withdrawn, dark, or downright ugly, assume she is a goddess and needs your divine invasion of her heart and body. notice your incipient feeling of disgust for her dark mood, and take utter responsibility for her transformation. You know how fully committed you could be to, say, finishing a project at work. Treat her mood with the same ferocity of intent. Her mood is your challenge. Can you invade her body and heart with so much love and humor that she laughs, relaxes, and brightens in spite of herself? Can you bring out the consort in her by treating her with the same teasing and sexually pregnant touch and gaze as you would your mistress? You will not want to, that's for sure. When you are depolarized, the last thing you want to do is get it up for that potato. And yet, this is exactly what a superior man does with his woman and his world. He knows that when things get dreary, it is his own doing. He knows that he is only truly happy when giving his gift fully and to the last drop. He knows that depolarization is a sign that he has ceased giving fully of himself, and so the world and his woman have ceased responding in fullness. Sometimes you must move on to another job or another woman. That's fine if it is a true movement of growth, clear, empowering, and an aspect of the ongoing giving of your gift. But more often than not, your first impulse to move on comes when you have ceased invading the moment with your fullest capacity to give and instead are droning along, coping, rather than creating. You can spend decades coping with a job before you realize that you've wasted much of your life. After just a few minutes of coping with your woman, however, she will show you her pain. Her face will show it to you. Her tone of voice will reveal it. Her seeming ugliness will reflect the collapse of her radiant core in response to your ambiguity of desire. Her dark mood is as ugly and repulsive to you as your ambiguity is to her. It only takes a moment of meeting a real challenge to bring a man back to full purpose, an emergency or a threat that demands his best. And it only takes a moment of praise and deep appreciation to revoke a woman's radiance. It can happen to your woman at the grocery store or at the spa when a man signals his appreciation, or it can happen at the kitchen table with you. Rather than deciding to move on because you are too weak to overcome your own neutralized lack of desire, try to take on the challenge of manifesting love in the dreary world and in your dreary woman. Use your body and mind to smithereen your woman's darkness into love. Even if she has yellow eyes and fangs, she still loves to dance. It's up to your freedom and strength of transmission whether she drains your energy, bites your wimbly head off, or surrenders to your fearless passion. Chapter 43. Use her attractiveness as a slingshot through appearance. A good woman is a source of inspiration and attraction into the world of a man. He must never forget, however, that neither the world nor his woman is the purpose of his existence. His practice is always to feel through women in the world, without suppression or disdain, into their source or very nature. A man's attraction to women must be converted from attraction to women into attraction through women. He must feel his desire without suppression, and then feel through his desire into the source energy of desire. He must feel through her beauty into the very delight of which her beauty is but a ripple and reminder. His whole relation to appearance is epitomized in his relation to women, either as obsession, distraction, or revelation. In your worship of women, never forget that they die. In your enjoyment of pleasure and delight, never forget that your sensations and feelings are fleeting and never absolutely enough. Women can attract you, heal you, and inspire your gifts, but they will never satisfy you absolutely. Never. And you know this. This is why women are so frustrating to you. Their promise attracts you, in one way or another, perhaps many times a day. And yet, throughout your life, you have learned and will continue to learn that they cannot make good on the promise. The fulfillment that seems like a woman is actually unavailable in her form. The play of your body wanting her body is the most obvious hoax of fulfillment. If you have ever gotten the woman you've wanted, you know that it is never as good as you hoped for, at least not for very long. And yet you continue to be attracted, over and over and over, to the same woman, or to different women. It's all the same thing. You are deceived by the mirage of your own desire. You are deluded by your own excitement. Women are not to blame. They are to be cherished. And felt through. To feel a woman and be merely yanked by your desire for her form is stupid. Bulls and houseflies are yanked by feminine forms and desire. It is an endless, stupid round of mirage, desire, and need. And yet, so much of your life goes to looking at, thinking about, and desiring women. It's not something that can be simply shucked, but it is something that can be felt through. Like a slingshot, the momentum of your desire can be used to deliver you to the source that women only promise. Women are the epitome of appearance, all appearance, everything around you, potential and actual. And like women, all appearance seems to promise you something you want. You want success from your job. You want love from your woman. You want pleasure from your body. You want obedience from your dog. When you don't get what you want, when you lose money, your woman hates you, your body is in pain, and your dog bites you, you're unhappy. When you do get what you want, you are less unhappy. You are least unhappy when you are relieved of the need to get anything at all from appearance. Just driving in your car, wanting nothing, watching the trees go by, can be an epiphany of perfection. Deep sleep, orgasm, a day of fishing, looking into an infant's eyes, these occasions can relax you from your search long enough to realize that you already have what you seek. That what appearances promise is a revelation of your own deep and inherently blissful nature. You are that which you seek, but you have left your own deepness and are looking elsewhere. The stress of not finding it creates its own need to be released, and so the cycle continues. You are chasing your own tail, and much of the time, that tail looks suspiciously like a woman. But you don't need to stop chasing. Instead, chase. Allow yourself to feel how badly you want her. Feel how deep is the itch you want scratched. Feel the need that drives you, for most of your adult life, to yearn for a woman, in flesh or in fantasy. And discover what it is you really want. You've had tit, you've had pussy, you've had nurturing, you've had wild passion, and none of it lasted. It wasn't even that good as long as it did last. Your need is far deeper than any woman can provide. So what is it? Your ultimate desire is for the union of consciousness with its own luminosity, wherein all appearance is recognized as your deep, blissful nature, and there is only one. Your desire for union with a woman is a stepped-down version of this ultimate spiritual need. You can use your desire as a doorway to spiritual oneness. Magnify your desiring to the brink of madness. Sustain it with full breath, relaxed body, and open heart. Embrace your woman, if you have one, and give her what you want from her. Give it all to her. Give it away to her. Give her so much of what you want from her that you can't tell who is who. The chaser has become the tail, and all motion stops in the intensity of self-release. There is only one. The very light of your consciousness shines as the world, and it is looking back at you, appearing as a woman. She often appears as what you most fear and desire. She is the goddess, ready to fuck you, murder you, and enlighten you. Her appearance and your desire can be an endless drama of need, or they can merge, becoming a doorway to your divine source. In a moment of attraction, let your desire feel to her, but don't stop there. Feel through her. Do this constantly. Feel through her body when you are having sex with her. Feel through her anger when she is raging at you. Feel through her darkness when she seems ugly. Feel through her beauty when she most attracts you. By feeling through all of her forms, the superior man is not distracted or obsessed. Rather, his attention feels through the mirage of other, and he is released of need in the revelation of oneness. Desire can be a doorway to deep oneness. Sexual union is a fractal or stepped-down reflection of the ever-present wedding of consciousness and its inherent luminosity. The superior man embraces his woman as his own form. The revelation of deep oneness is love. Women can seem to bring you to your true nature, or they can seem to take you away from it. Each moment of appearance and of woman may be a distraction, an obsession, or a revelation. Notice the distractions, tits, ass, wealth, and fame, and practice the revelation of oneness by feeling through the distractions. Notice the obsessions, tits, ass, wealth, and fame, and practice the revelation of oneness by feeling through the obsessions. Practice it with your woman, for real. Bow down to her, and then bow down through her, into the deep, which only seems to have been another. Part 7. Body Practices. Chapter 44. Ejaculation should be converted or consciously chosen. There are many physical and spiritual reasons why ejaculation should be converted into non-ejaculatory whole body, brain, and heart orgasms. But there are also relational reasons. When a man has no control over his ejaculation, he cannot meet his woman sexually or emotionally. She knows she can deplete him, weaken him, empty him of life force. She has won. When a man ejaculates easily, he creates ongoing distrust in his woman. At a subtle level, she feels he cannot be trusted. She and the world can deplete and depolarize him easily. This subtle distrust will pervade the relationship. She will not only doubt him, but actually act to undermine his actions in the world. By undermining him, she demonstrates and tests his weakness. But she also hopes that through such tests, he can learn to remain full. You won't be willing to bypass ejaculation until you have experienced the much greater pleasures which lie beyond it. In the meantime, notice how you feel in the minutes and days following ejaculation. If you have accumulated a lot of tension in your daily life, ejaculation will afford you with temporary release and relaxation. But as you live your life with more and more true purpose, you won't accumulate so much tension during the day. Then you will discover that ejaculation, for the most part, actually depletes and weakens you. It feels great for a few moments, but the price you pay for the genital sneeze of ejaculation is a much higher level of mediocrity in your daily life. You will find that you just don't have the extra gusto necessary to live your life with utter impeccability. Excess ejaculations pave the road to living a good life, but not a great life. In a subtle way, excess ejaculations will diminish your courage to take risks, professionally and spiritually. You will settle for doing enough to get by, to be comfortable, but you will find that you would rather watch TV than write your novel, meditate, or make that important phone call. You will have enough motivation to live a decent life, but ejaculations drain you of the cutting through energy that is necessary to pierce your own wall of lethargy and slice through the obstructions that arise in the world. Your gift will remain largely ungiven. Your woman can feel all of this. She may be sexually turned on by making you ejaculate. It may please her in the short run. She may even say she feels sexually unfulfilled if you don't ejaculate. But there is also a deeper part of her that has never been sexually fulfilled by you because of your tendency to ejaculate frequently and soon. Most women can experience many orgasms, and deeper orgasms. And more importantly, most women have a natural connection between their genitals and their heart. When you ejaculate and lose your erection, you are probably depriving your woman of her fullest capacity of heart reception and expression, which is evoked by relaxed, loving, watery hours of your fearless and unstressful genital penetration. It is not simply your genital penetration that touches her deeply, though. The main penetration she feels is your yielding into her, through her in love. It is the fullness of your presence, the actual invasion of her body by your consciousness, that most ravishes her. Face it, if you are like most men, after an ejaculation or two, you don't really want to penetrate or ravish her anymore. You are content to relax in the emptiness of released tension. You don't feel much desire to enter your woman, bodily or emotionally, as you did just before you ejaculated. Your woman feels your lack of desire, And she also intuits, perhaps subconsciously, that your lack of desire also applies to the world. If she can drain you, so can the world. If she waits for your deepest gifts, as you lie feebly in the bed of undesire, so might the world. She senses that you have succumbed to her, that you have allowed temporary pleasures to diminish your capacity for fullest consciousness. She knows you will likewise succumb to the world. One part of your woman is happy. She made you come. She is happy you are relaxed and enjoying yourself. Another part of her is disappointed that you have allowed yourself to choose a temporary and pleasurable spasm over the endless ravishment of her and the world. Sometimes she doesn't even know what she is missing. If she's never been with a man who has the capacity for full consciousness during sex, without conceding to the mechanical reflex of ejaculation, then she doesn't even know the extent of her capacity. She doesn't realize how deep and ecstatic sexual loving can be. She has never been utterly dissolved in loving, surrendered beyond a shred of closure, ravished through and through until there is nothing left to ravish, just openness, love, radiant and alive in all directions. Some women, because of their need to guard and protect their wounded heart, would actually prefer that you ejaculate. That way, they never have to open all the way, or expose their depths to your touch. They know that after some oral sex and maybe a half hour of intercourse, you will ejaculate and it will be over. They don't want to feel you persist beyond their habitual closure. They would rather stay in control and draw out your ejaculation whenever they want. It is especially this kind of woman who would most benefit from your undiminished capacity to lead her beyond all closure. And it is especially with this kind of woman that you can cultivate your capacity to persist in the giving of your love. The world will constantly test your capacity to give your gift in the face of refusal. A woman who refuses your loving is simply a manifestation of this aspect of the world. Deep down, your woman only wants love, as do you. Her refusal is a form of her fear. She may have childhood wounds that she is afraid of feeling. She may have been hurt as an adult and is afraid that if she opens, she'll be hurt again. But in the present moment, all emotional resistance comes down to the same thing, a refusal to love. Your masculine sexual gift is to coax, humor, shock, and caress her love into melting through her layers of fear. Without imposing your own needs on her, let your love penetrate to the deep part of her that is totally open to love, that is love itself, and coax it to the fore. Do this slowly, over time, not through conversation, but through bodily communicated presence, care, consciousness, and the liquid loving of sexual intermingling. When she feels the absolutely trustable nature of your loving, that you are truly with her, committed to loving, and you're not going to get lost in the self-enclosed spasm of your own pleasurizing, she will begin to trust you with her most vulnerable core. But not until then. Every time she feels you contorting into your own sensations, she feels you gone, not present, not trustable. She may enjoy giving you an ejaculation, but a deeper, perhaps unexpressed part of herself will not trust you. Why should she? Why should she expose her deepest part, her most vulnerable heart, only to have you convolute in a paroxysm of self-possessed gratification, followed by your withdrawal into post-ejaculative relational non-interest? Every time she sucks you into an uncomfortable need to ejaculate, she has conquered you. She controls you and masters you. She is in charge sexually, no matter what manly gestures you make before ejaculating. With a simple flick of her tongue, a silky moan, or a slurping tilt of her pelvis, she can drain you of life, and deep down, she knows the world can do the same to you. A superior man may choose to ejaculate occasionally, but such a choice is made freely, before even engaging in sex, not after it is too late, at the last uncontrollable moment before the physiological roller coaster starts heading down the deep dive into screaming release. A superior man is dedicated to the magnification of love through sexuality. He does not settle for less than the total surrender of his woman's heart, as well as his own, into the fullness of a divine union. The pleasures of this dissolution into love so far exceed the typical genital spurt that ejaculation is easily bypassed or postponed once a man and woman have expanded their sexual capacity. Just as your woman tests you emotionally, so she will test you sexually. Even when you are trying not to ejaculate, she may energetically begin to pull the ejaculation from you. As always, her deepest pleasure is in feeling your fullness, your strength, and your love, even while she is testing you. When you don't ejaculate, but demonstrate that the fullness of loving is more important to you than the quick thrill of genital release, then she can truly trust you. But she will continue to test your capacity for loving, even once you've demonstrated your capacity to bypass ejaculation for the sake of a much more profound bliss. The bottom line is this. If ejaculation is not completely a matter of conscious choice for you, your woman knows she controls you sexually. And as long as she knows she's in charge, she won't trust you enough to relax fully in the force of your loving. She will always keep her heart somewhat protected, rather than surrender so deeply in your embrace that she is splayed into divine brightness. She will go for whatever moist pleasures she can get before you lose interest. Your woman will be sexually, emotionally, and spiritually unfulfilled to the extent that you are addicted to ejaculation. And in many ways, the world will be just as unfulfilled by your gifts. Your addiction to cycles of release will stop you short of full and conscious disillusion into your deepest source, and so your true gifts will not emerge. By strengthening your capacity for the fullest communion sexually, you also strengthen your capacity to dissolve into the source of life and re-emerge soaked in gifts, erect with purpose, and full of desire to give your deepest gifts in the face of worldly resistance to you. A superior man dissolves into the mystery and re-emerges full of love to give, again and again, without petering out in his sexual relationship with his woman and in his creative relationship with the world. Chapter 45. Breathe Down the Front. All men tend to have blocks in the front of their body, along an imaginary line that runs from the top of the head, through the tongue, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, and genitals, down to the perineum. The principal bodily key to mastering the world in women is maintaining a full and open front of the body at all times. The best method is through full and relaxed breathing, drawing energy down the front and freeing attention from neurotic self-concern. When you get nervous, your stomach tightens. When you are saddened, a lump forms in your throat. When you are threatened, your solar plexus feels queasy. When you think hard, your forehead wrinkles. When you consider the unsure future, you tense your jaw. For much of the day, you are tightening, tensing, and contracting the front of your body, from the top of your head, through your chest, and all the way down past your gut. The front of your body, especially your belly, is the place where your energy meets the energy of the world. When the front of your body is open and relaxed, your power flows freely, and your presence fills the room. You've probably been with people who seem to occupy more space in the room than most people. They seem to command attention, even though they are not doing anything obvious to attract it. The front of their body is so open that their energy flows freely through the room, magnifying their presence. Such people are remarkably relaxed, poised,